Jordy, but we're going to begin with censorship because the news today is that BitChute, the video sharing platform, has decided to shut down operations in the UK as a result of the Online Safety Act. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to read the statement in full because I just want to make it clear in their words why they've done this. So they said that after careful review and ongoing evaluation of the regulatory landscape in the United Kingdom, we regret to inform you that BitChute will be discontinuing its video sharing service for UK residents. The introduction of the UK Online Safety Act of 2023 has brought about significant changes in the regulatory framework governing content and community interactions. Notably, the Act contains sweeping provisions and onerous corrective measures with respect to content moderation and enforcement. In particular, the broad enforcement powers granted to the regulator of communication services, Ofcom, have raised concerns regarding the open-ended and unpredictable nature of regulatory compliance for our platform. The BitChute platform has always operated on the principles of freedom of speech, expression and association, and strive to foster an open and inclusive environment for content creators and audiences alike. However, the evolving regulatory pressures, including strict enforcement mechanisms and potential liabilities, have created an operational landscape in which continuing to serve the UK market exposes our company to unacceptable legal and compliance risks. Despite our best efforts to navigate these challenges, the uncertainty surrounding the Online Safety Act's enforcement by Ofcom and its far-reaching implications leaves us no viable alternative but to cease normal operations in the UK. Therefore, effective immediately, BitChute platform users in the UK will no longer be able to view content produced by any other BitChute user. Because the OSA's primary concern is that members of the public will view content deemed unsafe. However, we will permit UK BitChute users to continue to post content. The significant change will be that this UK user posted content will not be viewable by other UK users, but will be visible to other users outside the UK. Users outside the UK may comment on that content, which the creator will continue to be able to read, delete, block, reply, and flag. Users outside the UK may share UK user-produced content to other users outside of the UK as normal. In other words, for users in the UK, including content creators, the BitChute platform is no longer a user-to-UK user video sharing service. We deeply regret the inconvenience and disappointment this decision may cause to our UK users and partners. This decision was not taken lightly. It reflects our commitment to maintain the highest standards of compliance, protecting our community and ensuring that our platform remains a safe and sustainable place for creative expression globally. We recognize the value of our UK community and extend our sincerest apologies for the disruption caused by this necessary step. Our support teams remain available to answer any queries or concerns regarding this transition. We appreciate the support and engagement of our community around the world and remain dedicated to providing a platform that champions free expression and innovative content sharing in an environment of regulatory certainty. Thank you for your understanding. Now, I'm going to say that's the end of their statement, but I'm going to say that I do understand this absolutely. But of course, for UK users, the way to deal with this is to use a VPN, which everyone should be doing by default anyway, because particularly since the requirement under the Investigatory Powers legislation for internet service providers to collect all the metadata for every website you visit on behalf of the British regime. So this is another platform falling in the UK. Charles, I'd be interested to get your comments on this because it follows on, of course, as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. The announcement of small forums shutting down because of the restrictions imposed by the regulatory regime around so-called user-to-user platforms. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think in the first instance, although it's not expressly written down in the Online Safety Act 2023, I think this is precisely the consequence that they have been intending to engineer. Now, of course, with the assistance of Ofcom, who, as they point out, have been handed enforcement tools to the tune of being able to fine astronomical fees. So this is really exactly what was hoped to be delivered, the shutting down of free speech and indeed the gifting of the space to magnify the narrative by the mainstream who do not fall foul of this. And, you know, I used a rather crass analogy, but what this has done is to turn responsibility for an action into that of the holder or the hoster of the platform. And I said it would be a bit like a pub being held liable if a fight broke out inside it. Now, unless the pub had specifically conducted an action to incite such violence, then why on earth should it be held liable? But in this instance, of course, BitChute, anybody that has what's described as user-to-user content is now being held liable. So I can appreciate exactly what it is they're saying. I think, of course, it's regrettable that they're not minded to challenge it, because we at UK Column certainly believe that the first port of call is to challenge this in the strongest possible terms.
Well, that's absolutely right. But of course, by doing what they're doing, they're vastly raising the profile of the situation. So that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it has. I mean, I think you know, the majority of people will, of course, be blissfully unaware of this. And indeed, what possible gain does the mainstream have for reporting this? Absolutely none at all. They fund Ofcom, and therefore they're to be protected by it. So, you are quite right. And I think BitChute, you know, is fairly well known across the board. So hopefully there will be that sort of effect. I mean, I think that's what we have to hope for. And of course, that people are watching this are going to continue to put that word out. I think that there is that sort of degree of separation, people not really understanding how freedom of speech is absolutely directly affected by this.
Yes, and I'll just end by reinforcing the idea of using a virtual private network, a VPN, because although they don't do what they claim to do in terms of privacy and protection and so on, at least getting your connection to the internet outside of UK jurisdiction means it is much harder for the UK government to snoop on which websites you're visiting and so on. And of course, it gets around this particular limitation if you happen to be in the UK. Now, related to this, of course, is data protection. And well, let's just remind ourselves about the UK's Data Use and Access Bill. It's been mentioned many times on this programme, along with its predecessor, the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill. Now, the main features of this bill are all-encompassing. The main features of this all-encompassing bill include a huge relaxation of data sharing rules. It expands the definition of what are classes legitimate interests. It creates new powers for the Secretary of State to amend the scope of Article 9 of the UK GDPR, prohibition on the processing of special categories of personal data. Now, what are those? Well, that's things like political opinions, religious or philosophical beliefs, genetic data, biometric data, health data, these kinds of things. And it also removes cross-border restrictions on data sharing, allowing the mass export of data to the United States in particular. Now, this needs to be seen in the context, I believe, of Operation Stargate and the massive building out of the AI-powered bulk data processing capability, which was announced by the Trump regime immediately following his inauguration. So it should perhaps come as no surprise then that the EU, which is until now been famous for its regulatory regimes, is moving in the same direction as it possibly can. The European Commission has now finalised its plans to simplify and potentially remove many of the regulatory requirements imposed by the General Data Protection Regulation, otherwise known as GDPR, which has until now been widely seen as the global lead in data protection legislation, but not for much longer. So according to Michael McGrath, who is the European Commissioner overseeing data privacy laws, the aim of the exercise here is to, quote, improve the competitiveness of the European economy through a whole range of simplification measures. Recently, he said, it's an objective of the European Union to continue with full implementation and enforcement of the data privacy framework. And he also announced the EU's intention to permit data sharing with US companies. It's my expectation, he said, because of the mutual benefits that it provides for European companies, for American companies, that there's a willingness on both sides of the Atlantic to continue with this. So the question is, will Trump put tariffs on data? I suspect not. But meanwhile, here in the UK, the Apple saga continues to rumble on. And if you remember, under the latest iteration of investigatory powers claimed by the Starmer regime, the UK government demanded that Apple provide a backdoor to encrypted data on Apple's iCloud data storage infrastructure, and Apple refused to comply. Instead, they removed the ability to enable advanced data protection functionality on Apple devices here in the UK. And they then took the case to the Investigatory Powers Tribunal, which is the court responsible for overseeing the use of this legislation. But those hearings were to be held in secret. So a group of privacy campaigners, including Open Rights Group, Big Brother Watch, and Index on Censorship, took this issue to the tribunal. and a judge has ruled that the hearings should be heard in public. So the tribunal said that it did not accept that the revelation of the bare details of the case would be damaging to the public interest or prejudicial to national security. And this is a good step in the right direction. The Investigatory Powers Act and its recent amendments are really an anathema to data protection, and anything which helps expose it for what it is good news. But the key point here is that while you and I want our data to be private, and Apple, for marketing reasons, perhaps wants that to be private as well, the regime in this country does not want that to be private. And worse than that, they want the fact that they don't want it to be private to be private. So that means that under this legislation, if you remember, it is against the law for a tech company to let any individual know that the spooks have demanded access to their personal data. Again, Charles, any thoughts on this? Because this is, I think, a bit of a win.
Well, I mean, yes, I suppose we have to be a little bit guarded in what we really do regard as a win in the first instance. But no, I mean, I would absolutely totally agree with that. I think there's, like with all of these sorts of topics, I think that the main point is the hope that this goes out to a wider audience and that people do actually get some sense of what, not just what is going on, but what has been going on. Of course, this is something that's been covered on the news in its various guises for so many years, and yet the traction that it gains is invariably very, very little. And often when it is appreciated exactly what the situation is, in effect, the door has closed and it's too late. But yes, I would absolutely agree. I mean, let's just hope that we can put it down as a win.
Okay, thank you for that, Charles. Now let's come on to, what you're calling a digital prison.
I